Hey, what's up, everybody? We are live for episode 33 of the Rockies War Room Ramble. And tonight we have a special guest, Mr. Forrest Harris. So let's get to it. What's up? Hello, Mr. Harris. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Rocky.
Not Jay's with us.
Howdy, folks.
McMurray.
Hello.
McMurray's putting some stuff away.
Yes. And of course, the wardrobe. Todd.
Howdy.
The wardrobe is actually the a judge today. It looks like he's wearing a judge.
What do you call it? Yeah, where's your gavel?
Yeah.
Got my that there Deacon Giles smock.
Distillery whiskey.
That's bourbon. A smock. What he's got there.
Yeah.
Tonight's topic is wargaming the Wild West. We're also going to talk about several other things pertaining to. We're going to do a top 16, a revisit of the top 16 best Western movies of all time because we don't need a FIFO again. Let's see. Can confirm.
That's a Texas size Big Ten 4.
Yes. And we got a Star Wars minute tonight?
Yeah.
We do? Yes. Excellent. And of course, we got something to talk about with Mr. Forrest Harris, who's coming up in January, I believe, is a Kickstarter. Yep.
Well, that is correct.
We'll talk about that. Busy, busy show. But first, I did want to mention we have more games that are going to be being played on this channel, including Gunfighter's Ball. That's going to be coming soon. We're going to play a few more practice games of that before we do it live, of course. And we got some special ones that we're not going to mention yet. Some special games you guys don't want to miss. So make sure you click that that bell on over on YouTube or click that follow over there on Twitch, which we are live both on Twitch and YouTube right now. And also, if you go to Wiley Games, Wiley Games is another one of our friends in the wargaming world. We have a promo code, Rocky, at checkout. You get 10% off anything from their website. But tonight's all about wargaming Western. So let's get into this, fellas. Top 16 Western movies. You want to start with that tonight?
Let's hit it.
I'm putting it on the screen here. Hang on. I will share the screen with my horrible spelling. There we go. It is set up. And the way this works, Forrest, if you haven't, any you folks out there that have never seen us do this, is we're going to go down the panel here, down the line on the left side of your screen over here, which is starting with me, not Jay, Forrest, McMurray, then the wardrobe is last, of course, and we're going to select a Western movie. And then we'll all vote at the end once they're all selected, and we'll find out who has the top 16. And I'm so glad we have Forrest with us tonight because he's probably one of the best representatives of saying, that's not a Western movie.
Yeah, when it comes to accuracy, yeah. Historical accuracy, yeah.
And I'm going to start with Pale Rider.
Good movie.
One of my favorites. So, Not Jay, what do you got, buddy?
The Cowboys.
The Cowboys. And what about you, Mr. Forrest?
Tombstone.
Oh, yeah. We had that on the first one.
Might be the best motion picture ever made.
Probably. I would have to agree with that. It's one of those movies, like for me, it's Forrest Gump. You know, I don't know why, but Forrest Gump, anywhere it is at in that movie, I have to finish it.
Yep. Yeah. You'd be up till 2 a.m. if it happens to come on when you're at a hotel.
If it happens, it happens. Yeah. McMurray, what's your first one, buddy?
Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, yeah.
Outlaw Josie.
I got me the Josie Wales.
Hopefully I spelled that right. All right. Number 5 goes to the wardrobe. What do you got, buddy?
First of all, I'd like to say this pick is brought to you by Print Your Brackets. PrintYourBrackets.com. Go there, get your own bracket. PrintYourBrackets.com. Matt?
Thanks, Todd.
I'm going to go with I like the True Grit, the new one.
Okay.
More recent one.
I need to watch that.
What it's a so, stupid. It's good. Not the original, but it's good. Oh, back to me again, huh? Should I go The Man with No Name? Blondie?
We're going to call the trilogy as one unit here.
That was going to be my question.
Or split them out into individual movies.
Because they're all fantastic.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Well, what should I call it? Just the trilogy?
I think the trilogy.
Yeah.
Because they, yeah. I wouldn't take up three spots on the chart with the spaghetti westerns.
Yeah. We'll call it the trilogy. We know what it's talking about. And
just have a spot that says anything that has Ennio Morricone music.
Mini Wormont. I'm getting worried about Mini Wormont. He's not here.
And he's probably an ice cream.
This is his jam.
Yeah, I think he would know it like these.
Mm-hmm.
The Sons of Katie Elder.
Oh, man. I never actually saw that.
It's on YouTube, I think. Or, sorry, Netflix or one of them? It was at least for a long time.
Let's go call it The Sons of Katie. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Elder is what you have problems with there?
Right.
It's just long, dude.
Heard that before.
All right, what do you got, Forrest?
The Searchers.
Never heard of that one.
Ooh.
Or maybe I have.
Classic. You probably would recognize. It's John Wayne. It was a John Ford movie. And
then I've probably seen it.
Very many complex issues with that movie.
Okay. Mick Murray.
Let's go. I don't know what the hell Todd's problem is. We're going to go with, as it should be, True Grit. Like, yeah, the dude divides, but the dude prevails, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Now, I would have said The Big Lebowski because it's kind of a modern Western. Oh, there it is.
I believe it's related as a modern Western in the at the beginning, isn't it?
All right, Wardrobe.
Well, I'm sorry. What was the trilogy? I don't know.
Oh, The Spaghetti Fistful of Dollars, Good, Bad, and the Ugly, okay. And for $2 more.
Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think the more time goes by, the more that will be considered a classic in the canon of Western movies. That is fabulous.
I would like to say something about True Grit. I enjoyed the first one very much. But
is it Scruggs?
Scruggs, yeah. Yeah, you got
Scrub
it.
With the B? Okay, all right.
Geez, yeah, just like you got it.
I just remembered the other one I wanted to mention. So who's next? That's me. Oh, it's Clint Eastwood's son, and I cannot remember the name of the movie.
310 Yuma?
No. It's like The Devil or something, or Diablo. Diablo, that's the name of it. You have not seen it? It's great.
I'll have to check it out.
It's just he looks, acts, and I swear to you, his eyes when he stares at someone, it's like, is that Clint Eastwood? You know, it's a great movie. It was on Netflix for a while.
When he looks up at them, he's a little bit shorter than Clint.
Yeah, but what I mean is when they do those stares, those Clint Eastwood stares, like they used to with a cigar. You know, he took a cigarette out of his mouth. And you just had that look without the duster, of course, but it was a great movie. It's a really good movie. Not Jay.
How the West Was Won.
Almost put O-N-E. Okay. 13. We are at Mr. Forrest Harris.
I just had it. Hold on a second.
We got some people in the chat, the shit.
Yeah. Lonesome Dove. That's what I was trying to come up
Young
with.
Young Guns.
Love Young Guns. I love Lonesome Dove.
Problem is, Lonesome Dove was a mini series.
So can we count it as a movie? Probably not. You can put me down for Young Guns, because I'll tell you something about Young Guns. That's not what happened, but that's how it happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that analysis somewhere else. Somebody else used that analysis. That's not what happened, but that's how it happened. I think they got the visceral truth of what happened in Young Guns. I think it portrayed something that happened there And yeah, even though that's not literally the way the events unfolded. And they certainly didn't have cheesy synthesizer music at any point in the Old West.
Oh, okay. What about the F Troop?
No. Again, television show.
Number one should always go be The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That's David Hall saying this. And The Shootist. Which one is The Shootist?
So The Shootist, here's why some John Wayne movie. That was John Wayne, and it was essentially the guy who wrote it. Okay, he was a Pulitzer Prize winning author. It was the only Western he ever wrote. He was a physician. And if you read the book, it describes every wound in disgusting detail, but it's very effective. It's an incredible book. But anyway, The Searchers, for those that don't, I mean, not The Searchers.
Shootist.
The Shootist, for those that don't know. John Wayne's last movie, wasn't it?
Yes.
He had cancer, and the character had cancer. So the character was dying of cancer. He was an old gunfighter, and he was dying of cancer. And so he knew his enemies were going to try to find him and come to him. So he's going to go out in a blaze of glory. So it's really, but I would classify it more as a drama than an adventure movie. And that's the way a lot of the John Wayne movies were. We expect a big shoot 'em up with a lot of action these days. But back then, it was the drama that was more important. The people story.
Wasn't The Shootist the only thing he won like an Academy Award or something for?
Probably.
Or was it True Grit? I don't remember. Anyways, yeah.
Good movie. I mean, I saw a lot of John Wayne movies when I was younger with my grandfather. So, I mean, I've probably seen it. I just don't remember the names.
He had a mustache. He had a mustache.
Oh, okay.
Because that's like one of the only movies he had a mustache.
Yeah, a mustache and a little.
Yeah, he had a little soul patch.
So you picked Young Guns. Who's next? McMurray.
Guys, I am having trouble here between The Wild Bunch and.
Fifo Goes West.
Get out. Go home. Between that and the Seven or the Magnificent Seven.
Oh, you got to go with the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to. The Wild Bunch was a crappy movie. It's famous. Everybody loves The Wild Bunch because it's an action movie, but it was a horrible movie.
I love The Wild Bunch, man.
It's fun to watch, but it's not a good movie. But The Magnificent Seven is like. Perfect movie, like Tombstone.
It is.
Yeah, but which one?
Shut up.
No. I'm saying The Magnificent Seven. There's a couple of them, is there?
Oh, how did I? I'm going to take back Young Guns and put in Magnificent Seven.
On that one, I would say the old one.
Yeah, it's
the original. Oh, the original. Definitely the original, yeah.
But the old one is better. I like the new one, though. Come back to me, Matt, in just a second. I'll figure it out.
I can't do that, McMurray. You got to make a decision, man.
Let's go, McMurray. Seven. As much as I love The Wild Bunch, because it gets that really weird, like.
Oh crap!
I think Once Upon a Time in the West is in there. Didn't somebody just say that? No, not Jay said How the West Was Won.
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious we could have another 16 bracket.
Well, this is our second one already.
Harmonica. I know Once Upon a Time in the West is classic and Henry Fonda and everything, but I just about fell asleep in the middle of it.
Oh,
it's too slow for me. I just can't.
Hey, we're about to have one extra spot because we got 16 spots and 15 suggestions. So just chuck that in as the last one.
I was gonna joke and say Blazing Saddles, but I don't want to say that.
Oh, that is a fantastic movie.
But that's comedy.
Top 16 comedies.
And then my next one was going to be Magnificent Seven, so that's out. So,
sounds like you've got the perfect spot for The Wild Bunch.
I am going to pick. I don't know that one.
It's a Western, and I get to use 1911s. It's
all right. So here's what I'm debating between.
You're a Western. Yeah.
I'm debating between 3:10, Good, the Bad, the Ugly, and who shot
Roger Rabbit.
Liberty Valance?
Liberty Valance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's – you got to – I mean, if that's the greatest Western movies ever made, that's got to be one of them.
All right. Let's put that in there then.
What is it?
Who shot Liberty Valance?
They just made so dang many Western movies. How do you pick 16 of them?
I know. Anyway, who shot what?
All they made was Western for Liberty, about a 10-year period there.
Liberty Valance. So, yeah. 3:10 to Yuma and Good, Bad, and Ugly. So.
Yeah, 3:10
to Yuma
is good.
Who shot Liberty Valance is like The Crying Game. It's got a spoiler that you can't say. If you haven't seen it, don't anybody tell him the spoilers.
Mini Wormut says, oh crap, top 16 Westerns. Here we go. Where are you, Mini Wormut?
Why aren't you here, jackass?
Yeah, original sorry. Magnificent Seven.
Yes, original Magnificent Seven, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we have our top 16 at the moment here. So we're going to start over here with between Pale Rider and Once Upon a Time in the Old West. So I'm going to vote Pale Rider. Go ahead, Dante.
I got to go Pale Rider.
Okay. Forrest?
I enjoyed Pale Rider, yes. And Clint Eastwood.
All right. And what are you going to pick, McMurray and Todd, since we already got a winner?
Well, I'm glad there's a winner. I don't know these. So
okay.
I prefer the Pale Rider, but
I like Once Upon a Time in the West. We'll give it a vote. It deserves a vote.
All right. The Cowboys versus Who Shot Liberty Liberty V. I'll go Cowboys. Not Jay.
As much as I like the Cowboys, Who Shot Liberty Valance is just, I mean, got right. James Stewart and John Wayne. Come on, man.
All right, all right, all right. Forrest.
Who Shot Liberty Valance is a true cinema classic.
Big Murray?
Who Shot Liberty Valance?
All right, that is the winner. Todd, what would you have picked, sir?
Liberty.
Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
Liberty, Liberty.
I'm glad you did we've that. Shot it all because we've seen it all.
All right. True Grit versus The Searchers. That's the original, right?
True Grit. Yeah,
the original True Grit. I've never seen The Searchers, so I'll have to go True Grit. Go ahead, Najee.
True Grit.
Forrest.
I'm going to have to go with The Searchers. It's a John Ford movie, and it's if you haven't seen it, you'll understand why.
What about you, McMurray?
True Grit.
All right. Todd?
Searchers.
All right. That one was closer. All right. Here we go. So next one is Ballad of Buster Scruggs versus The Sons of Katie Elder. I'll have to go to Ballad, Nache.
I got to stay with The Sons of Katie Elder because it was one of my mom's favorites.
I got to say Ballad of Buster Scruggs because I think even though it hasn't been much time gone by yet, I think time will place this very highly in the it stayed in that tradition in a remarkable way. Yeah. I have to go with that.
Okay. Big Murray?
I have not seen Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which is dumb because it's on Netflix. But I really enjoyed Sons of Katie Elder. I gotta go run with Sons of Katie Elder.
It's up to you, Todd, to decide.
Pan shot, ping, pan shot, ping.
Yep. First time.
Buster,
yeah.
Right?
First time. Yeah, it's Buster. And my son, who just saw it a couple days ago, just yelled in the other room, pan shot.
Yep.
I think I saw
if it gets kids watching Westerns, then.
Yeah, it's hard to beat. Yeah.
He liked Buster Scruggs. He watched it with his roommates the other day. So,
hey Matt, before we go any further,
don't
Wormut.
No. Wormut. No.
No more comments. Get your ass on here.
Nope. Yep. We've already been through that point, Wormut.
He's probably having ice cream with his, you know, lover.
With his loving family and stuff. What a chunk.
We're gonna spend time with my family and have ice cream. Okay.
On the bottom brackets, we're going to start with Todd with the first vote. So Outlaw Josie Wales versus Young Guns.
Outlaw.
You going with Outlaw?
Yes.
Okay. McMurray?
Josie Wales, baby.
Forrest?
I'd have to say Josie Wales because it's a whole the complexity of that movie and that story. Yeah, I'd have to go with Josie Wales.
I would have picked Young Guns. Nache, what would you have picked?
Josie Wales.
Yeah. Tombstone versus the Magnificent Seven. Magnificent Seven.
Wow. That's brutal.
Who the hell puts one and two
seats? How did they put them in that? They end up in that lane together because Tomb Seven.
Get the ratchet crap for his placement.
I think we're put 1 to 4, 16.
I think you're looking at number one and number two in the list right there. They have to compete against each other.
3 and 14 right there.
The way the bracket falls, man. It's the way the bracket falls. Am I voting first?
Yeah, yes.
Magnificent Seven.
McMurray.
This is a tough one.
Yeah. It's probably the toughest decision we've had to make on the top 16 ever.
Let's do Magnificent Seven. I really like it.
Come on.
God, I like Houston a lot, though. Shit. No, Magnificent Seven.
All right, M7's got two votes. Forrest, what do you got, man?
Yeah, I have to go with Tombstone. The costuming, the dialogue, the story. Oh, my God. I mean, I love The Magnificent Seven, but Tombstone, I mean, nobody fanned in the Old West. Come on, give me a break. Tombstone is so authentic. I mean, you can argue about how authentic the historical is. But
yeah, but Gunfighter's Ball allows you to fan.
Yeah, that's right.
You put it in your game force, so it happened.
But yeah, it's a brutal choice to have to make, but I would go with Tombstone myself.
Okay. Not Jay?
Tombstone.
Oh, it's left up to me. That sucks because I love Tombstone. So Charles
Bronson. You'll go.
All right.
I know it's a terrible decision to have to make. I mean,
Steve McQueen.
It's a fantastic movie. There's no way around it.
He's good, man.
It shouldn't be up against Tombstone.
Denzel Washington played great and magnificent. No. How the West Was Won versus the new True Grit.
True Grit.
All right. McMurray.
How the West Was Won.
All right. Forrest.
I'm going to have to pass because I've not seen either one of them.
Well, you got to pick one, even though you passed.
We'll go with How the West Was Won because it's an old classic that I'm aware of.
So that's two for one.
Well, I probably did see it. You know, not I just Jay? Don't remember.
How the West Was Won.
And that's probably what's going to win.
Who was in that?
That as well.
I have no idea.
I can't remember.
All right. Man, what would you vote?
Minnie Wormut is in the green room, and that's where he's staying until the top 16 is over with. All right. Diablo versus the trilogy.
Trilogy.
All right. McMurray. The Spaghetti Western trilogy or Diablo?
Yeah, Clint Eastwood, dog. All yeah. of
it. Forrest.
Oh, absolutely. The trilogy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to go. Not Jay.
Trilogy.
Yeah, I picked that over.
By the way, the question was, who was in How the West Was Won? It was a John Ford movie.
Everybody was in How the West Was Won.
That had Carol Baker, Lee J. Cobb, Henry Fonda, Carolyn Jones, Carl Malden, Gregory Peck, George Pappard, Robert Preston.
Jimmy Stewart.
You had James me at John Stewart, Ford.
Eli Wallach, John Wayne, Richard Widmark.
Dude, wow. Yeah, exactly. It had
Walter Brennan.
Jimmy Stewart and Gregory Peck in it. It wins.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
So the answer is
High Plains Drifter's not on the list.
Who's in it? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Black Hawk Down of the day. All kinds of people are in it.
All right. Here we go. Pale Rider versus the old True Grit. I have to go Pale Rider, not Jay.
I got to go to original True Grit.
Yeah, I think respect has to go to the original True Grit. If you're looking at what's going to, you know, be considered the best Western movie.
All right.
So, hey, how'd he sneak in?
Oh, he True Grit. There it is. That's better. Thank you.
So two for True Grit, one for Pale Rider.
Wait, who said Pale Rider? Oh, yeah. OG True Grit.
Oh, so
there's the winner right there.
There's the winner. Yeah.
Well, we got doesn't Wormut get a vote?
Nope.
No.
I'm sorry, Mini Wormut.
You gotta be here on time.
He'd just write in five for everything anyways.
I would have voted True Grit anyway, so I would have taken it over.
McMurray. I mean, Mini Wormut, what would you pick there?
Unmute yourself.
Unmute yourself, sir.
What was that again? True Grit and what?
Pale Rider.
Oh, I'm Eastwood, so I have to go Pale Rider.
Yeah, well, there you go. Who shot Liberty V or Ballad of Buster Scruggs?
Ooh, baby.
That one's easy.
We're going to start with the mutt this time since he wasn't here.
Liberty, liberty.
Okay. Wardrobe.
I'll go with Buster.
I'm going to go Liberty, even though I'm going to go Liberty.
Okay, McMurray.
I'm a big John Wayne fan. I got to go with two-shot Liberty Valance. Valance, yeah.
So three nothing so far, Forrest?
Yeah, I think from a standpoint of respect for the old classics, I think Who Shot Liberty Valance. I really do think Buster Scruggs was a better movie. But Who Shot Liberty Valance, I think I would go with for all that right. reason.
That is the one that's moving on. I would have picked Ballad.
Yeah, it would have been a sweep.
Yeah. Okay, Outlaw Josie Wales versus How the West Was Won. I'm going to go Josie Wales, not Jay.
Yeah, I got to stay with – I mean, How the West Was Won is a great movie, but Outlaw Josie Wales is just so well done.
Oh, yeah. Josie Wales, for sure. I mean, you just look at him in that trading station with the mountain men. And, oh, yeah. Any of those shootouts. Can you pull those pistols or whistle Dixie? Just the lines that came from that movie.
Yeah. My favorite. Oh, no, that was Tombstone. Dang it. Pull that smoke wagon.
And go to work?
Yeah, and go to work. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite scenes. That's Billy Bob Thornton. That's
a great line.
That's Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't know that till a long time later. I was like, holy crap, that's Billy Bob Thornton. Well, Ike, what are you going to do with that shotgun? Anyway.
You can go now.
So that's three for Josie Wales. McMurray?
Josie Wales.
Okay, that's going to move on. Todd and Norman. What'd you pick?
Josie.
Buzzer's gotta eat too. Josie.
Same as what was it?
Same as God. This is gonna be the hardest one.
Oh my God. I just saw it come up on the screen. How can you choose
Spaghetti Western trilogy?
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. I'm gonna let Mini Warmut start this one.
That's what you get for being late, Warmut. That's
right. Choose your poison. Will it be the red pill or the green or the blue pill?
We're looking at. Am I looking at the right bracket here?
Right here.
Where?
Spaghetti Western trilogy versus two.
No, it's the other bracket.
What?
Going here. Stop it. Pick one, or I'm moving on.
Tombstone.
All right. Todd.
Trilogy.
Ooh. It's heating up. McMurray.
Trilogy. It's got Lee Van Cleef, man. I'm a fan. Ooh.
All right, Forrest.
I think among us gamers, we might like Tombstone better, but if for the general public, if you look at movies where people know the lines from the movies and everything in them is iconic, well, it's got to be the trilogy.
Mm. All right, now, Jay, is it going to be a sweep with the trilogy, or are you going Tombstone?
I cannot go against.
Throw.
I can't go against the trilogy, man. That's just that is the if you don't watch any other westerns ever, if you watch those three, you're good.
And the trilogy moves on. So we have our final four,
Matt. What would you have voted for?
Oh, I was going to go the trilogy as well. Tombstone, I'm obsessed with, but the spaghetti westerns, you just, as far as anything western nowadays, I mean, its launching point, I think, was John Wayne and then the spaghetti westerns and then Tombstone. Like, for me, it's, you know, that progression. Everything else can pull aside, but the most influential is definitely, I think, the trilogy out of them all. So, but True Grit versus Josie Wales.
Let's start with McMurray.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be like that, Todd?
Todd, what do you hate?
Come on, Todd. Hurry up, Todd.
We're gonna start with some. I'll start. True Grit. Go ahead, Nache.
As much as I love Clint, I gotta go True Grit. It just something about the Duke.
I named my dogs named after the Duke, so
If I honestly have to say, I enjoyed Josie Wales more. I'm going to go with Josie Wales.
All right. McMurray?
No, man, I'm with Forrest. I love True Grit, but Josie Wales takes it, man.
Ooh,
the authenticity in Josie Wales takes it for me, too.
Two and two.
He's incredible.
Coming back from 0-2 is Josie Wales at 3-2.
Ooh, all right, more Mutt.
Oh, Josie.
There we go.
Right.
Can't be mad at that.
No.
I'm working on, I was full blown ready to launch into how Brian ruins everything. I'm happy I didn't have to.
Don't ruin everything, man.
I hope you are not.
All right. Who shot Liberty Vance or the Spaghetti Western Trilogy, which is what I'm going to choose? Now, Jay, what do you got? I choose Spaghetti.
Oh, man.
Stop it.
Yeah, well, we just broke into the final countdown anyway, so I felt like it was really influencing.
I gotta go with Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Ooh, one and one, Forrest.
I'm gonna go with the trilogy.
Ooh. All right. That's two. McMurray.
Trilogy.
Oh boy.
It's what, 3-1?
Yep.
All right.
Liberty Valance.
Oh, that's 3-2.
Ooh.
This may tie it up. Horse race now. It's all up to Mini Warmut here. Is he going to tie it? Is he going to pick the trilogy?
Nobody whistles anything from Who Shot Liberty Valance.
That's going to be a trilogy, man.
Oh, moves on. So now we have our final two.
Come on.
And it is between the Outlaw Josie Wales and the Spaghetti Western Trilogy. Now,
Clint?
Mad Dog 67 says, "Damn, all the cool kids are streaming today." Yes.
Yes, all Mad Dog. Cool, he's back. Mad Dog and I have been streaming together all day.
You've been streaming all day?
I've been streaming all day, man.
Why didn't you put links up on the Facebook or anything? I would have watched you.
I didn't want you to see it.
It's not that kind of streaming, okay? Not yet. Or McMurray. All right, the trilogy versus the Outlaw Josie Wales. We're going to start with Mini Warmut on this one.
Oh, man, dude. Really?
Yep.
It's Eastwood versus Eastwood.
Yeah, well.
I'll go with the trilogy.
Okay.
3-1.
Tad?
I am real curious before we move on. Would we have been able to count There Will Be Blood as a Western?
I drink your moochie.
That's a Western. It is a Western. Like, yeah. But again, that brings in the Quigley question too. Does that count as a Western?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Western Australia.
It is.
I was just curious. I thought about that one. There's another one that.
That was a great movie.
What's the one with? I'll tell you my vote. I'm not trying to delay here. I just wanted to ask this question. Oh gosh, what's the one with them?
You're delaying.
Tommy Lee Jones. It's another Coen Brothers movie.
Oh,
Showgirls.
Men in Black.
Showgirls.
Coen Brothers.
The Missing.
The Missing.
With Kate Blanchett and Tommy Lee.
Under Siege. I'll go Outlaw Josie Wales, but I got to think of the movie.
Under Siege. Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. Steven Seagal. Great Western. Okay. So it's Outlaw and Trilogy. 1-1, right?
Yeah. Correct.
McMurray.
Oh, no! Come on! Shit. I love the I Love Josie Wales. We got to hit I Love Josie Wales.
Wow. Josie Wales? All right. Forrest?
I would have to say, if I'm trying to judge Western movies, the cultural impact, the trilogy. People whistle the song from it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
People wear the ponchos. But I love Outlaw Josie Wales. I probably actually like Outlaw Josie Wales better. It's a much better movie. Trilogy is cheesy fun, but the Outlaw Josie Wales is a piece of cinema. So, I don't know. I actually, you know what? I'm going to do an upsetter here. I'm going to upset this. I'm going to say Outlaw Josie Wales.
Really? It's 3-1, not Jay.
Wait, 3-1?
Right? No.
I said Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, you did? Okay.
We can. So
yeah, it's 3 Outlaw Josie Wales, Forrest, oh, you, okay, and Todd versus 1 the trilogy. Not okay. Jay.
Wrap it up, put a bow on it.
Oh, okay.
Outlaw Josie Wales.
And I would have picked the trilogy.
The Rose of Alabama.
No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at Two Mules for Sister Sarah, High Plains Drifter. what was the John Wayne, the cattle drive where he was an asshole? What was that one called? There's so many. They made so many Westerns, and there were so many good Westerns.
We should do a
McClintock still deserves to be on here, even though it is a comedy.
What's
we should do a top 16 of John Wayne movies.
Probably.
I don't care whose fault it is. Your
no
fault.
One picked Hostiles. Huh?
Nobody's fault.
Hostiles.
Yeah, we could do a top 64. This movie, Hostiles, about that. What was it?
The first 10 minutes of Wild Bill.
Oh,
Wild Bill. And only the first 10 minutes of it, but it was good. Those were 10 really good minutes.
And David Hall says, and now the winner of the trilogy is.
Doesn't matter because it's the first loser.
Well, it is what it is.
You guys ever watch that one miniseries, Godless?
What? Yeah, Godless was good, but it's a miniseries.
Yeah, it's a miniseries.
Yeah, and Hell on Wheels is another good one.
Oh, that's
really it. Like that.
Cat Ballou.
Yeah.
Deadwood.
Deadwood. Maureen O'Hara.
Yvonne DiCarlo, man.
Yvonne DiCarlo, yum.
Yep. Yvonne DiCarlo.
The Queen of Technicolor. There we go. And his Unforgiven. Logo. His logo is one of my favorite movies of all time, The Boondock Saints. All right. So now we're going to move on. We're going to get Nache's Star Wars hour over with, and then we will go into talking about something from Kickstarter, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nache's Star Wars hour and a half.
Oh, sweet. Not Jerry. Oh, you.
It gets longer and longer.
Admiral Grievous impression? Or General Grievous impression?
Yeah, shut up.
All right, let's get it out of the way. Come on.
So, first off, real quick, The Mandalorian Season 2 is shaping up to be a cracker. Man, it is great. Katie Sackhoff has come in as Bo-Katan.
Cracker Jack.
It's she's doing. She did an excellent job. We are going to see Ahsoka Tano at some point. Probably this next episode is what I'm hearing. Coming out the day after Thanksgiving, so we got that to look forward to. But the real news is that Fantasy Flight Games is losing Star Wars Legion, Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures game, and Star Wars Armada.
Really?
Asmodee has decided, the parent company Asmodee, wow, has decided to move all of its miniatures-based games.
Don't be planning any long trips with that cough you got.
Oh, no, man.
He's recovered.
I'm recovering.
You're doing great, Nache.
Asmodee moved all of the miniature-based games from Fantasy Flight to be to where it's more of it's bread and butter of board games over to Atomic something or other. No, not Atomic Dog. Atomic something or other, which is the company that's producing Marvel Crisis
Protocol.
Oh, really? Protocol. No kidding.
They're wanting all of their miniature games to be under a single company. That way they can say, hey, you want to be, you want to have board games pull from the Fantasy Flight catalog. You want miniature games pull from the
Atomic Age?
Yeah, something like that.
It's all a decision. Once you've built up a brand and people are looking for that brand, why would you? That's a winning form. Everyone knows Fantasy Flight Games X-Wing. Why would you do that?
Ask the French. When you are the second biggest game company on the planet,
yeah,
you do not what you're going to do.
Not what I thought you were going to say about the French, but that's okay.
I don't think it's going to skip a beat because it's all going to go through the same distribution channels and all that, and they'll find it. Yeah, like miniature market, they'll looking for it, carrying it.
They won't stop looking for it. They'll find it.
Well, it's funny. You see on YouTube, I saw a bunch of videos that were coming out about that. They're switching companies, and they were like, "Is Fantasy Flight going out of business?" There's no way.
That's like saying Hasbro is going out of business. Or Milton Bradley. No, it's just changing names, basically. Yeah.
Is there any thought? I didn't hear anything. Is there any thought that might get more attention or anything or any new?
No, it's more of a
Business thing.
Yeah, it's more of a streamlining.
That makes sense.
Because as it is, they already have, there's already a kind of a crossover between the studios with Crisis Protocol and the Star Wars stuff anyway. Yeah. With people, running the business. So this way it's all, in a single bucket. They're not having to say, well, okay, I need to spend half my time over here and half my time over here. They can spend all their time in one location, which, may eventually allow them to get, produce stuff on a quicker basis because they're not having to split time between companies and between studios because the studios are right now in two physically different locations.
They're split up too much.
Are they doing any Mandalorian stuff for Legion or anything?
What's that?
Mandalorian stuff?
I hate to ask you a question.
Okay, not yet.
I ask, are they have they produced any Mandalorian stuff yet?
Not as yet. However, they are.
I did send that email, Forrest, to Tom.
Oh, cool.
Excuse me. Go ahead. However, they are coming out with a Anakin from the Clone Wars and a more stuff.
Like Darth Maul?
Yes, Darth Maul. We're coming out with a Darth Maul for Legion. So very exciting stuff.
I might buy that one just because I love Darth Maul when he came out with the new movies. I just found him more of a compelling character. Don't hate me for it, not Jay.
No. He is a very compelling.
I thought he was better than Darth Vader, but you can't have Star Wars without Darth Vader. So
there you go. Especially with the stuff that the expanded stuff in both Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah, at least and it's then, good thing it was in Technicolor and it was dubbed,
Right. And then, like I said, they are coming out with. They are coming out with the Anakin Skywalker Actually, he's already out of stock.
Of course he is.
So, and then the newest thing from the Rebel Alliance is the Clan Ren expansion.
And of course you'll get them all.
Which is the
I know you will, not Jay.
The Mandalorians House Vizsla
Bob Vila?
They're basically the all female Mandalorians that we just saw with Bo-Katan. Clan Ren is Sabine Wren's family.
Yeah.
From Rebels. So they are also out of stock. So
they're all available. That's good. Somebody's gotta have them in the store. Do we have anything else, sir?
Star Wars holiday
Christmas special.
Special for the Lego Christmas special is out. I watched it. It's really good.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's not the one from 1978, which if that's the video. If you watch it, you die 7 days later.
Paint your wagon, something like that.
Yeah, it's bad. So. Anyway,
awesome, cool, man.
That's it.
All right, right on. All right, I have sent I sent Tom the email. I don't know if he got it or
not. Yeah, he's watching.
Oh, okay, so, okay.
He's probably checking that out right now.
We're on a bit of a delay, so. Forrest has something special that he has coming out in January. And it is on Kickstarter, and we briefly discussed it in his last interview that we've had with him. And there you go. There he is right there.
I was waiting
Hey, there he is.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hi.
And it's Kickstarter that's coming out January, correct?
Sorry, I had the YouTube going at the same time. That was really confusing.
It's okay.
Yeah, Kickstarter's going up in January.
Awesome. Really excited for it. I'm going to show you guys the screen here. There it is right there. This is the Kickstarter right here. And there's an awesome little button. Now, if you go to the Kickstarter / Gunfight Royale, that's the name of the board game. That they're creating, and I'll let them tell you a little bit more about it in a minute. There's a little button that says notify me on launch. Please go and press that, and it will definitely add to their list of people that are, you know, interested in it. Yeah, you can, McMurray. Give me a second, buddy. He got dumped out. Where's he at? He's not there. It says you're disconnected. All right. And it'll really help. Go to Kickstarter, notify it, take a look at it. It's really awesome. I've seen some pictures of some of the pieces. Forrest showed me some of the pieces. And I'm going to go let them explain to you exactly what's going on. So, Forrest, Tommy, tell us all about it, man.
Okay. First, I'd like to direct people to also the Facebook Gunfight Royale page and take a look at the posts, because there's a lot of work in progress and pictures. But in a nutshell, this is a board game. It's played on a 20x20 Western town grid. And there you go. This is the Western game for the non-hobbyist. So I've had this theory, this philosophy for a long time, that our hobby, the requirement of being in the hobby, in other words, having modeling and painting skills, wanting to put in your evenings, preparing the games, all those things that go with a full-blown hobby makes them inaccessible to people who don't have that kind of time or have other interests. And yet, having them still be able to enjoy the style of play that we have with things like Gunfighter's Ball and be able to enjoy cool miniatures without the pressure to do all this other stuff. So I thought if you can boil this down to a board game, think about how many more people that we could A, recruit for our hobby, or B, just get them playing something really fun and have share this experience that we try to describe to them when we see them out in the real world. Say, we do this thing. Oh, that sounds really complicated. Well, it's not. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so what we've ended up with is a board game that's very similar to Gunfighter's Ball, but it's very elegant and self-contained and fun, just a lot of fun. Let me just start by showing you a few of the miniatures for it. I got to make sure here we go. So like, for instance, and I don't know how well my webcam is going to do here, but this would be one of the figures. This is the gambler, I should say.
Oh my God. Is it the Kenny Rogers?
No.
You've got, let's see here.
That should have been on our top 10.
Here you go, the rancher's daughter. This is the tomboy. And you're noticing here it's a cartoon style. Because another one of the things we wanted to project in this game was sort of just fun, you know? This is not to be taken seriously. So it was an opportunity to sculpt some stuff that I wouldn't normally sculpt. So
those are so awesome.
Here's the villain, little villain here sneaking around.
McMurray, this is going to be fun, buddy.
Yeah, it's going to be excellent.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a big subject and I don't know where to start, really. It's a screw your neighbor game where you're constantly cutting each other's throats. You only control one and sometimes two characters. You have a whole character rig in front of you that has poker chips and stuff, just like Gunfighter's Ball does.
I can show some pictures and things if you want. I will show.
Yeah, and I'll turn this over to
the Facebook page right here. I saw this from here.
The perfect introduction to Wild West Gaming for friends, relations, gullible passers-by, and all other parties who heretofore have sworn disinterest in this great hobby of ours.
Awesome.
And as you see the game board there, you see the mm-hmm. board and all the game materials. And there's about 12 miniatures, 12 characters that come with the basic set.
There you go.
She's going to be the exclusive Kickstarter figure.
Oh, there's a good look at the miniature right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is a character card.
Yeah. Got them right here as well.
Excellent. Here, I'll let you show them off. Go for it.
Here's some character cards.
Ooh, gimme.
You got the old timer. We've got the reward value, which is like used for points if you kill him. You've got his gun. He starts with a coach gun. And in here is his special abilities, which one of them is if you shoot him in the right lower leg, it doesn't do any damage because he has a pig leg.
Right on.
Yeah. So, and if you could explain a little bit of the how this relates to video games, kind of.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Why I'm explaining to these guys why they call it why we call it Gunfight Royale.
So I don't know if you guys have heard about the battle royale games,
like Fortnite and Warzone and stuff like that. That my son plays exactly. all the time. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so I play those sometimes, and I used to play them a lot. But the name just while me and Forrest were talking back and forth, the name just came up, and we're like, "Oh, that's the perfect name," because the game is a fight to the last man standing, and that's what the battle royale video games are. So, yeah, Gunfight Royale, it stuck.
Now, does the fog and the gas close in on you as you play? No, I'm just kidding.
No, but we do have something to make the game end. Like
a ticker track?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's I think Forrest would like to tell you about that.
Oh, yeah.
Let me pull out the miniature for it. Ooh, okay. Here's my radio microphone here.
Where'd it go? Oh, here it is. Yes. This is.
Oops. Whoop. Hang on. There we go.
This is the Lone Rider of Eternity. Sort of like the lone biker of the apocalypse. And there's a track on the outside of the board that goes from high noon to right off into the sunset, to sunset. And so the first time a character draws a mortal wound, a term you'll recognize from Gunfighter's Ball, the first time somebody gets seriously wounded and goes down, he starts. And every time there's a round, when it comes back to the lowest ranking player, you roll a die and he moves on that track. This way, there's a definite end to the scenario, definite end of the game. Once he starts moving, he's going to move every turn until then the game's over. So then you're really on a ticker and you got to get your objectives accomplished. It keeps people from laying in the dirt, just plunking at each other.
Yeah.
You know? They can't hit each other because they're all bleeding out on the ground. Yeah, it's like, right. When did the lawmen show up?
Yeah, that's great. I love the time tickers. There's lots of games that have them. And I always like that there's an end, because my son is what they call in the video game world, camper. And he likes to camp to the last countdown or to the last min. Once again, there's the Kickstarter, Gunfight Royale. There we go.
There's an element to this. We took Gunfighter's Ball. There's some things in here that will actually become good enhancements for Gunfighter's Ball. For instance, the weapons and items deck. So you're going around the board and you start with a weapon, but you also find weapons and items as you move around the board. You can pick up tokens and cash them in for a draw from the weapons and items.
Yeah, again, Tom.
All right, we'll show you.
I didn't
have to find a duster. Allows you to conceal your guns.
Nice.
Or a dress.
To conceal yourself as a woman. So
to conceal your gender.
McMurray, it's possible, sir.
What?
So the thing about the dress is there's a characteristic, a character called the lady, and she gets an advantage from being a lady. You know, you can't just gun her down from a distance. So
that's sexist.
So if you put on the dress, yeah, you get that advantage.
That's great.
Well, shit, that means not Jay on Friday nights can never be shot for distance.
Hold it. Keep that one up for a second. Yep. McMurray. Sorry.
Yes.
We got a four-bore rifle in there.
Hell yeah.
Not throw a quarter pound of lead downrange.
Yeah, I've got a four-bore muzzle loader. They're fantastic.
You do?
What?
Yeah.
You really do?
We got one in the game. And there's
the caliber is 1 inch.
Yes. It throws a quarter pound of lead.
Yep. Oh, my gosh.
A scope, awesome. Sharps rifle.
So is the game board open?
You can basically go anywhere on it. Hold it up there. It's a town. And so it's an iconic little town. We call it Gunpowder Gulch.
Start calling Tom Vanna.
And so it has the things you would want to have. It's got a saloon. It's got a livery stable. There's some scatter terrain on the board that you can hide behind. And all of the in the horses are great. They're sandbags on stilts. And then you got, you know, the boardwalk. You've got a bank and a general store, barbershop. And this is really, we play tested the daylights out of this. All the angles and the distances. I mean, you can't just plunk down terrain and come up with this. We had to move stuff and tweak stuff. And yeah, I'm really proud of how it's come out. And the art design is all cartoon.
And that's wonderful. I love it. I love the board. I love the game concept. My son and I play board games. We play a lot of board games. Actually, he likes that sometimes better than miniature games. But yeah, one of the key things of a board game for us is, you know, the game table. Obviously, it has to look good, you know, just like with the miniature game, it has to look good. But the aesthetic that you got going here is fantastic. I love it. And the big heads, and it's just so unique. And I did want to tell our listeners that you will see this game played here on Rocky's Warren. So in January, if you're interested in the Kickstarter, we will be playing this sucker and you will see it played. So before you
I buy, really appreciate you doing that.
That's not a problem. I can't wait. I'm excited. You know, if I played three or four games of Gunfighter's Ball and that's a blast, you know, it has its own uniqueness. So for us to be able to play the board game as well and use those items in the miniature game too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
you can graft this stuff into the miniatures game easily.
That's awesome.
The dirty tricks also.
Oh, the dirty tricks. Yes. Because you had a scenario that has dirty trick cards in it.
So the dirty tricks, one of the cool things that dirty tricks do is they take the bystander role and make it abstract, but it's there. Like for instance, a bystander, you can play a card on one of your friends or yourself or your own character that says bystander calls out a warning. Oh. And then you get a cover bonus, I think it is.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So or a bystander gets in the way of your shot, you know, and that will subtract from your shot. So it takes that role of the bystander and it sort of it boils it down into the cards. You don't have to have a bunch of bystander figures on the board.
Oh, cool.
Right. So they're still a factor because they're in here. A wagon goes across the street when you're about to take a shot.
Yeah.
There's no wagon model on the board, but it's factored in.
Yeah, I've got a scenario for all my Western games, which we'll probably talk about again later, where there's a stagecoach, and at the end of every turn, it moves randomly, you know, and you don't know which way it's going to be going, and it could run your character over by accident with his horses and stuff. So,
yeah, you can die from a trampling in this.
Yeah, game. Very, well, awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can get bit by a horse,
and then
or kicked. Oh.
And Notchay will viciously complain about the ghost, I mean the stagecoach, after we play and he gets trampled. So,
if it's needed for balance, I'm all right with it.
Yeah, but that doesn't keep you from complaining about it, Notchay. Oh, come on now.
Dude, I'd bitch about being hung with a new rope.
But anyway,
it's my prerogative.
Keep those Texas expressions coming. I love it.
So as far as gameplay goes, I mean, is this something that's very fluid? I know it has a turn that you get one gunfighter per player. Is it, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
All right.
That was multiple questions.
Yeah. So I hope the gameplay is very fluid because I tried. But so you get one per player.
Okay.
If you just have two people playing, you could each take two.
Oh, okay. Because,
you know, otherwise it'll just be one shootout and then you're done.
Yeah.
And then if you do teams, there's like free-for-all ones and then there's team ones. If you so do teams,
a couple game modes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's how the game modes is free-for-all or teams, and there's a couple scenarios, forced holding up. Yeah, so if you're on a team and there's like four people on one team and three people on the other, wait. That's too many. Two people and three people. The teams are going to be imbalanced. And so you can want the lower team can take an extra character to make up for that.
Oh, okay. What were you showing us there, Forrest?
Oh, yeah. These are the cards. He's talking about the different scenarios. So there's a deck. Here's the deck. And these are the scenario cards. And so you draw one. And some of them are... The reason they're two different colors is some of them are team scenarios and some of them are individual scenarios. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Is it right? Teams and free for all.
Teams and free for all. That's right. So not like here's some free for alls, not a social visit. This town ain't big enough for the six of us. This is the standard gunfight. Each character starts on a numbered space and random items are placed on all the question mark spaces. The last character standing wins $1,000 points. Whoa. The Yankee gold. There's gold in the middle of the, where does it go?
Place the Yankee gold card off the side of the table. The Yankee gold is on the question mark space in the middle of the street. The characters carry the gold off the corner as the board wins a $6,000. There we go.
Yeah, so it's a but capture the flag.
If you don't feel like carrying the gold off the board, you could just kill somebody with it. It's a melee weapon.
It's also a melee weapon. The bag of gold.
There you go, McMurray. You found out how to win.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the thing is, they're not just the scenarios are functional. They're not just five different ways to have a shootout. There's like, let me see if I'm trying to remember from playtesting which things made it into the final cut and which didn't.
Anybody in that's watching, we got 9 people watching. Any of you guys watching, if you have any questions about this board game, if you have any questions, please pop them in the texture there. I know they'd love to answer them for you. I know I've got a couple.
Okay, shoot, go ahead, because I can't remember what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought.
No, that's totally
fine. You got robbed by bandits.
So I see that there's 6 different or a certain amount of scenarios on those cards. Is there any customization, like to make your own scenarios? Is it one of those things? No? Okay.
If you look at it and you are a miniatures gamer and you like Gunfight Royale, you like Gunfighters Brawl, you'll come up with some.
This one,
like,
yeah.
They're
too smart not to, right?
You guys will go, oh, but I want to do a bank robbery and a, you know.
Yeah, but I want to play with the Pinkertons and Jesse James. Yeah,
and we play dodgeball with these rules. I think is the question we're getting at.
Yeah, but the figures might break.
Yeah, well,
done. All right.
So a point I would make is that the mechanisms in it are things that can be grafted into Gunfighter's Ball real easily. Another thing is the squares are intentionally 1 inch where you can use Gunfighter's Ball figures on it.
Oh,
on the board. Also in the Kickstarter, we'll be offering Gunfighter's Ball versions of the Gunfight Royale characters that are unique.
Very
so
cool.
I've already sculpted most of them. So when we have the, I can't show any of them that are a secret. But you may have already noticed that Bucktooth Billy, the character we have in our current lineup.
Oh yeah.
I sculpted him into a cartoon character. But you will also notice that some of them are armed differently. Like I lost her here. Oh yeah. So the tomboy you might recognize as Ellie.
From the
Gunfighter's Ball range, except that this character has a different kind of weapon. She's got a Sharps rifle.
Okay.
Instead of a Winchester. So she's different. But I can't show you some of the really unique ones because they're going to be in the add-ons and they're going to come out trickling out as the Kickstarter moves along, and they're going to be surprises. So we have some surprises, and they're pretty flamboyant surprises. So it goes from the standard sort of characters that are in the base set to some more fanciful, not fantasy, but, you know, great weapons, you know, amazing weapons and freakish characters that they're goofy characters.
Well, heck yeah.
You're going to find some.
Some awesome figures.
And then also, I was just going to go back to your question again.
Go ahead.
And that is that when, as far as customization goes, one of the nice things is if you don't want to set up the whole Gunfighter's Ball regalia for a game, you can just use it as a terrain board and play with these rules for combat, and then with any characters or scenario you want to do.
Oh yeah, because each one is an inch, and you can your D10 for that, how many inches you move, and yeah, okay. And is facing important?
Yes,
yeah,
very important.
Okay.
You'll notice some
diagonal bases.
Yeah. So here's the bottom of a base. So what you do is that little arrow.
Mm-hmm. That's where they're facing.
That's where you're facing. And then what he was about to say. Go ahead. What were you about to say about octagonal bases?
They're octagonal.
Octagonal.
And why they're right octagonal?
He practiced that word. You can tell.
Octagonal.
How do a radio DJ say W? Because you know, they're octagonal because it notches into, if you have a square space, right, that and the flat side of it is going to face is always going to touch. If the flat side of an octagon is touching a square lined up, it's going to fall into every corner squarely. I mean, like, there's no fudging. This is a board game, so you don't have that wiggle room you have in a miniatures game. She's going to be facing, she's going to be facing this way, or the corner, or the side, or the corner, or the back, or the corner, or the side, or the corner, or the back. Right. So it's digital. It's very clean. There's never a question about which way are they supposed to be facing. It's very, very clear. Also, the tip of that arrow is used for lining up the angle, lining up the shot, and determining if there's any cover in the way.
Awesome. That way you can draw a string or a line from that, that point.
Yep.
Excellent. This might be a tough question to ask or answer. Sorry. Not ask. It's a tough question for me to ask.
No. Briefs.
Yeah. Not that question. So what, besides the cartoon look, what makes this board game so unique? I guess I can say what is different about it than your traditional board games? Like, you know, why would I play this over Monopoly? And it might be a tough question to answer, but I figured I'd ask.
If you're playing Monopoly, you've made a couple of mistakes already.
Free parking. How much do you get for free parking?
It's very unpredictable, and there's a nail biting aspect to it. You know, you're on the edge of your seat, especially towards the end of the game. That's what we've seen in playtesting.
Okay.
Is that people are just laughing hysterically, and you've played Gunfighter's Ball, you get sort of similar effect there, but because it's a board game and because things are so tightly mm-hmm. put together.
Yeah.
And there's not this wiggle room of just being able to blow things off with a storyline. It's competition, most certainly competition. So yeah, it's tense. And there's a lot. I said the other thing that's different is there's a lot to think about. It looks really simple on the surface, and it really is easy to learn, but you got to pay attention, and there's subtleties to the choices that you make that aren't readily apparent until you get good at it. And then you realize, there's strategies buried everywhere in this game.
Excellent. So I should be able to beat my son at least 5 times in this game before he figures them all out. All right.
All right. But don't post that online if that doesn't happen. Okay.
The kid beats me at everything. Even though Notchay's had a pretty good record at stopping him 2-0. Notchay's last 2 games we've played, he's actually beat my son, which is weird. I can't, but he can. And Notchay's not here. He's missing his minute of glory. He lost to my son in a game a long time ago. And Notchay says, "I will never lose again to your son." I said, "Okay, that's what I said." But, you know, what about you, Tom? What do you think is the uniqueness? What do you think?
Well,
for you,
for me, the uniqueness, I guess I could say, I mean, has your son ever talked to you about Fistful of Frags? Has he ever played that one?
No, I have not. Or is that like Frag?
Did Jay Wiley write that?
Fistful of Frags, it's an arena shooter.
Okay.
And it's in the Old West. It's like this niche game, video game. And right. I can say that, like, a lot of the inspiration for the just, like, having fun times with your friends, everybody's yelling at each other or they're excited and they're having a good time. And there's, like, enough randomness that it's not, like, super competitive, but it's really fun. And I think the spirit of that is captured in the game, just having a blast.
You're just hanging out, playing a game with your friends.
Yeah.
I know here we love like beer and pretzel type games, you know.
Oh yeah.
There's not a ton of rules, or you know, you can follow something like a board game or something like that. I know we enjoy that a lot. And not Jay, you missed it. We were talking about how you stomped my son yesterday.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
One of the arena game that I used to watch my sons play was Team Fortress. And one of the inspirations I had a long time ago was I thought I need a game where there's these different character types, these archetypes that each have a very specific role and function. Mm-hmm. That there's a counterbalance between the characters. This one can do this, but if you choose this one, you can counteract that. But okay. You know, if he chooses this one, consider choosing this other character because he can do this thing that beats that guy. And you're constantly, and so I found that very interesting with this game that the characters are all very different from one another and they have these very unique traits. Like for instance, what is it, the villain or the phantom? I think it's the villain. He can shoot people in the back, no problem.
Okay.
Or the, what is it? He can shoot the lady, can't he?
I think the villain respects the lady because, you know.
The villain respects the lady. Okay.
He's a misogynist. But the outlaw doesn't care about shooting a lady.
Yes, the outlaw. That's right.
He'll shoot you in the back or stab you in the back. And
but the hero awesome. Won't. The hero can't shoot anybody in the back. And that limits him, but he's got other advantages.
Oh, man, I can't wait to play it.
Glad you're excited.
I mean, you have literally made my friends right here speechless because normally when we introduce a new game or a new board game or something like that, they have questions. They always want to know about it. These guys, they just want to play it now.
yeah. I don't know if it was brought up while I was gone. I know you've got the a turn tracker and your little horse dude going around the edge. But what is a normal amount of play time in actual minutes?
That's a good question. I'd say long would be 45 minutes for like a game. Short would be 30 minutes.
Okay. And but how many?
Maybe less.
How many players?
Up to six.
Can you get up to six? Mm-hmm. Okay, is that up to six with one character per person or two characters per person?
One per person.
Yeah.
One per person. Okay.
And after you die, you can still play dirty trick cards. So the dirty trick cards you accumulated during the game, you continue to play them as a dead person. So you can influence play even after your character's dead.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
All right.
So we basically haunt the dude that killed him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You root for the guy that you want to win.
There you go. I like that. I like the screw your buddy concept.
Well, it's kind of in Gunfighter's Ball miniature game, too, with the pistolier deck where you play past the trash.
As long as it's not to the level of diplomacy, I think we're going to be okay.
Where people won't speak to each other again for the year after they play the game.
If you want a surefire way to end friendships and families, break out diplomacy.
Here, I'll play this card on you. Yeah, diplomacy. Yeah. Sorry, I got so excited. I have grabbed a dirty trick card to dirty trick you.
Boom! Slip on manure.
Nice.
Oh, so you got shot, right? You draw a wound card, right? Oh, it hit your pocket watch. Isn't that great? Oh, wound is worse than it appears.
Nice.
That's great. Yes. Cool. So while sitting here, I do want to say, while sitting here, you've had 10 more hit the notify button when this comes out.
Cool. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for shouting that out, Matt.
No problem. Just wanted to let everybody know that, I mean, when I hit the notify me, I think you guys had like, I don't know, 50 or 60. So for me to see the screen now, wow, that's quite a bit more. So all of you that live over there in the UK, they're watching this later. Please hop over to the Kickstarter and we'll show it again. It's right here. This is the Kickstarter. It's Gunfight Royale. It has a wonderful model pose of Forrest sitting there from Knuckle Duster Miniatures. And it just put Kickstarter. /Gunfight Royale or Kickstarter Gunfight Royale. You can find it real quick. Also, you can go over to Facebook. They do have a Facebook page of Gunfight Royale that I actually noticed. It has a picture of the character card that you are a little video about the character cards that green card, I guess you had.
Yeah. Character rig. I did a video about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That looks pretty interesting. So it's still a poker chips life type.
Yes. Poker chips. You got 9 of them. Oops. This way around. Bottom 3 are red. That's when you're bleeding out. If you get down to red.
Yeah. Just like Gunfighter's Ball. That's awesome.
Yep. 6 and 3.
So if you play Gunfighter's Ball, this shouldn't be too hard for you to pick up some of the nuances from that game.
Oh yeah.
That's actually where we started. We at the beginning we were rolling D10s to move across this board. But since there were only 20 spaces on the board, it was like everybody was the Flash.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, the quality of the game materials too. You see those poker chips. You know, we won't be able to do clay poker chips in the basic game. Depending on how the Kickstarter goes, the quality of the components will improve, but we will definitely have plastic miniatures in the game. The game will be 12 plastic gunfighters, and then the rider, lone rider of eternity, the lone biker of the apocalypse, and you'll have those plastic minis in the game, and the dice and the cards, and the chips will all be punch out. You've got tokens that you pick up off the board for items to cash in for items, a draw from the item deck. You have something different than Gunfighter's Ball. You, in addition to the wound chips, you have these markers and spaces on the rig to show that your hand, one hand or the other, or both are disabled and that your running is disabled. So there's there's chips to put on those. And yeah, the quality and the configuration of those chips will improve as the Kickstarter stretch goals begin to ramp up. Excellent. And so the basic is a punch out, but the punch outs are going to be nice because they're going to be that same cartoon art design. You know, it's not going to be a digital circle. It's going to be a hand drawn. I did it all like Charlie Brown. I used ink. Everything is ink, pen and ink. Awesome. And you'll notice that the weapons, I took old catalog. I don't know if you see this very well. He's a peacemaker, but I took catalog photos, catalog illustrations from period catalogs, the old line art, the old engravings.
I took that.
Like from the old Sears Roebuck? Yes.
And I went back to military catalogs, like for instance, this Spencer. Now that came, I believe, from a military catalog that Dover, you know, Dover puts out all the clip art stuff, and they had a book of these kind of illustrations. And then I took that and I colorized them in the same way they would have colorized things, back in the turn of the century, where you're essentially, it's like watercolor. You're adding, I did it digitally, but I have a very specific palette that doesn't change from one thing or another. Metal's always the same color. Wood's always the same color, you know, and I laid that in behind the illustration. And then you see this box is not a perfect digital square. That's hand drawn with pen and ink.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I didn't want to go down the road of the same old art design you see on all the Western gaming stuff, you know, boards and badges, the sheriff's badge and the rough board and everything being photoreal, you know. I didn't want that. I wanted something different. And that's why I went with I always like to go back to Victorian art design and period art design and try to make games look like they might've been made in the period they came from. So.
Well, there's one thing. I've noticed your company recently, but one thing I have noticed about Knuckle Duster and the way you do things, you for sure, you take your time and everything you do is very detailed in the way you do it. And it is definitely noticeable. And I commend you for that. I mean, everything, all the miniatures. I mean, I'm painting these Gunfighter's Ball miniatures.
No, you were right.
I should have said it like that. painting them. You think you painted everything and then you go, holy crap, I forgot about the straps and the spurs on his boots. You know, holy crap, there's a little emblem on his holster. You know, I mean, just the detail that you put into your stuff, it really, really shows. And you don't thanks. You don't mess around when it comes to design. That's for sure.
I don't muck about.
No, you don't muck about. Yeah. So.
Well, thanks. I really enjoy trying to go beyond the well-trodden tropes. You know, I like to show things that aren't always shown, and yeah. Well, now having said that, you'll notice my spurs are always very flamboyant. That they have the leather, the big leather cover in front of the spur.
Yeah, and I thought they had the very large boot and stuff. Yeah, I thought.
Yeah, I always do that. I think it projects better on a miniature. I do. I have a few of them that have more normal spurs with a buckle and the strap. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty boring. I have them on some of them, though. I have them on some of the bad guys who are supposed to be the Sutton Taylor feud figures. Yeah. I have them on anything that has a cavalry boot. I go ahead and put a cavalry spur on it. But right. Yeah, the big flamboyant cowboy spurs with the leather plate on the front and everything, I think they're a lot more fun. So I put them on most of the characters that have spurs.
Oh, and they're noticeable on the table, especially with some of the old glory ones I have that have no spurs at all whatsoever. And then you look at a knuckle duster right next to it. They're a little bit taller, which is fine, but they all have spurs. my son, he goes, how come none of, I mean, didn't every cowboy have spurs? I laughed. I said, no, just knuckle dusters.
If I could just make them jingle and jangle when you move them across the board, that'd be great.
Oh, don't worry. They do.
Like Roco tanks that had the wheels on the bottom.
I make the noise. Ching, ching, ching. It's like when I'm playing, you know, some Star Wars or science fiction miniatures, I go pew, pew, pew. Yeah. So ching, ching, ching. Anyway, you guys here on the panel, you guys, Todd, Mini Wormut, McMurray, not Jay, you guys got any other questions about Gunfight Rail?
Well, my thing is, it seems like someone use Gunfighter's Ball rules and minis on this board if they didn't have any terrain when they first got it.
The board's a board, yeah. Well, the thing is, the ranges might be weird, but they would have the game. If they have the board, then they have the game, and they can just use the cards. Okay, so everything's self-contained on the play materials that are in front of you. So, for instance, these cards, you don't have a range chart that you have to look up. It's on the card for the – so on your – with your character, you'll have the cards for the weapons the character has, and that has your chart on it, and that indexes to the actual game board. So you would not use the ranges on the cheat sheet from Gunfighter's Ball. You would use the ranges that are on the weapon cards, but you still use them the same way. You cross off your ammo and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So are these wet erase or dry erase?
I think either, but it'll come with a dry erase. But they're UV.
Okay.
They've got the UV coating, so they should be able to handle either one.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So your ranges might get a little screwy, but you could play Gunfighter's Ball on there.
Oh, we're gonna try it.
Yeah.
We're gonna push the limits with this, bud. Don't you worry. This team right here, we're all about exploiting every rule we possibly can find. Ain't that right, not Jay? We destroy games. No, we're just kidding. No, we don't do that. But there are things that come up, especially when we play new games, and we play three or four before we do them live, you know, and nothing comes up until we play it live.
Yeah.
So that's always the problem.
Issue comes up when you're playing live.
That's right. So we'll figure them out. Don't you worry. We'll get them right out of the bat going, yep, we're live. We don't know. Well, we will find out. The Grandmaster.
I'm looking forward to this, and this is great material for us to have for the Kickstarter, because as you can tell from the lighting on my head here, I'm not very good at making videos. So yeah, this is going to be great, and yeah, keep the questions coming, and I'm pretty confident. I don't want to be I'll knock on wood here, but we play tested the living crap out of this game. So yeah, I think you're going to have a pretty good game experience.
Probably.
We brought in people who were brutally honest. People have played this game repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the play testers you want to find.
Yep. People with no filter. Yeah, you want those. Those people will make you money in the long run.
Yes.
Well, this is definitely a no filter group.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I could tell listening in before I came on.
You could tell. How could you tell?
Yeah, a couple of you guys.
Yeah, I know. I know. We're not going to name names, Mini Wormut. But we'll.
Yeah, it's all his fault.
Yeah. McMurray. But we won't name anybody.
I would never.
All right, you guys. So that's Gunfight Royale. And thanks, Tom, for coming on. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah. If you want to stick around, you can stick around. We're going to talk about Wild West Gaming, all things Wild West Gaming. Usually what we do, we mention some rule sets, what's out there, the type of things, type of scenarios, anything Wild West Wargaming. Just kind of the overall subject.
Well, I think I have a friend lined up to play a Wild West video game.
Oh, so, we'll go ahead.
You guys have
fistful
fun.
Of frags?
Yeah.
Yep.
All righty. Thanks for having me.
All right, Tom. We'll see you later, buddy.
See you.
Good meeting you, buddy.
Yeah. That's funny because most guys his age aren't talking about scoped Winchesters. Or
no,
you know, and I'm like, what do you say? Oh, where'd you find it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's that game. And they got some really obscure weapons in that game too. It's really cool.
My 7-year-old knows what a SCAR is and an assault rifle and stuff like that from playing, you know, Call of Duty and things like that. I said, how do you know what that is? Well, it's right here, Dad. I said,
We used to have a SCAR at the range I worked at, and people would shoot ever-loving piss out of that thing. Hey, can you buy one of those? Yeah, if you have $2,700 and, you know, $4 and cents, sure. But Jesus Christ, man. All the time. Gotta love the video games.
Well, I'm going to throw this out there, Forrest. I don't think I got to it during our interview, just to get our conversation about Wild West Wargaming started. We usually talk about the miniature lines that make them. And Knuckle Duster is the 1 million pound elephant in the room because it is by far my favorite. We're going to talk about him because I want to show you guys something. Who else makes miniatures like this? Who else makes line of block cover like this?
It's like sandbags. Yeah.
I mean,
okay. So yeah, I did a little research. I may have told you guys this last time I was on. I took 42 gunfights from history books and I came up with, a dozen different metrics that I was tracking through the gunfights. And in 20% of the gunfights I read about, somebody shot the horse to prevent somebody from escaping. And then of course a horse on the ground. There you got a pile of that's pretty. I mean, that's good cover if it's at the right angle.
Yeah. It's cover. There's a card, or isn't there something in your game that says about dropping a horse? There's a rule in there.
There is a rule
about shoot it. You're on a horse, you could shoot your horse for cover. It's like,
well,
what?
I know the rule I'm thinking of is the fact that if you get shot, if you shoot at somebody in a horse, there's a chance you'll hit the horse instead of the man, and if you hit the horse. Right. There's a chance the horse will go down. And if the horse goes down, there's a chance the man will get pinned. And getting pinned under horses, you know, with your leg getting crushed, is unpleasant. And that unpleasantry has come into games before, and it's been a lot of fun.
reminds me of one of the scenes in Firefly.
Yep, where they're... If the brothel in the Old West is covered in aluminum foil?
No. When he shoots Patience's horse and it lands on top of her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like the first episode.
Real quick, guys. Forrest, you got another two followers on Kickstarter. So
thank you. Thank you very much.
People are getting excited about it. So
it's gonna be fun. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
But continue, guys.
I love Firefly. And every time I see a game that is, you know, Western based, I think about how could it be played with the Firefly characters, because you know it's a Western in space, and I just love it.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, we got to mention, I know Knuckle Duster is one of the best, but we got to mention there are other miniatures out there. I know Empress Miniatures makes some, Dead Man Hands guys make some. What was that, West Wind? Is it West Wind, McMurray?
Yeah, West Wind. It was.
You've got all the classics. See, I got like Foundry. Foundry makes a ton of cowboys.
Yeah.
Old Glory has like three different lines, because I'm pretty sure West Wind, Blue Moon, and Old Glory at some point in time have all made cowboy lines.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. There's some good stuff.
So that's kind of cool. Too. It's a pain in the butt when you're trying to order, because it's like, which line is that in?
I want to shout out to.
Go ahead, Forrest.
I want to shout out to Chris Hughes, who did most of those. I think they called it Cowboy. It was the West Wind ones where it came in sets of matching rider and dismount.
Cowboy Wars.
That was Chris Hughes. Yeah. I love his sculpting. He did. I collect his 40 millimeter Napoleonic Sharps rifles stuff. I really enjoy his style. He has a cool style.
The guys I used to game with, we used to play when we were regularly meeting, probably once a month. We'd get together and play cowboys using the old rules with no name that Brian Ansel wrote way back then.
Oh, yeah, right.
We adapted some little minor stuff too, like we changed up the activation a little bit and stuff like that. But either way, good, easy rules. They're free. Everybody could just get a copy and print it out. It was simple. But those figures are really useful, because then if you do get shot off your horse, you have a figure. You're not searching for something. You buy it with a mounted and a dismounted figure. That's really, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a couple.
Foundry ended up doing that too.
I got a couple 30 packs of the Indians, which are mounted and dismounted.
Yep.
Because I plan on making a huge watering hole scenario, and where the Indians come and attack, you know, the stagecoaches and stuff. I've got stagecoaches. You know what? That's one thing. I think you sell them. Don't you sell quarter horses?
No.
The wagons.
I sell livery horses. Yeah. Horses with the tack for my brain is starting to fall apart as the time goes on here. The clock advances.
Yes.
I'll say wagon horses.
Wagon horses.
It's heavy harness that they're wearing. They're wearing heavy the kind harness. Of harness you would wear if you were pulling a stagecoach. I don't have buggy horses right now. I'll be doing that sometime too when we have buggies at some point.
Excellent, because I have a buggy.
I have the Old Glory buggy.
Yeah, I have got to get some horses to go along with the stagecoaches and stuff like that. They're going to look a little silly for a little while, but you know.
I have a cousin named Gerald Harris, and he farms with horses as a hobby.
Oh, wow.
And he was able to consult with me on a lot of the horse tack.
Excellent.
And that was kind of fun. And the wagon. I do have one wagon. I'll have more wagons. It's always the last thing in my priority list is wagons. I'm always, you know, preferring to do characters if I can.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You should see my lead of shame over here from Knuckle Duster and West Wind. It's quite extensive now.
Strategic lead reserve is what one of my friends calls that. Strategic
reserve. There you go.
Yeah. But I also got terrain, and I've been working on these buildings. You got to have terrain. I know Knuckle Duster makes that. Sarissa Precision has a line. There's also one called Atomic Laser Design that you can get on Amazon. And those are the ones that I have the specific letters that the guy cuts out. They look They're not authentic. I mean, it's not the way they were, but they look pretty cool because you can customize them and make your own buildings, like Rocky's War Room building I have for my town. I actually recently came across some material that I bought from the dollar store that I was able to make tumbleweeds with. And let me see if I can get it. And I've been kind of looking for something, and this one I haven't sprayed glue with, but it has the look of a tumbleweed when you put it out on the table.
It does, yeah.
And this is just that weird material you put inside of plant pots, you know, on the top, and you roll it up in a ball real good over the trash can because it does come off, and it looks like a tumbleweed. So
I'll give you a tip for if you want yucca plants scattered around the sagebrush, a cocklebur. Take a cocklebur and cut it in half. And
yeah.
You got a yucca plant. Just glue it down.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. A pile of opportunity. Paul Beckus from Australia says he's all the way over in Australia.
Paul is a bright shining light of optimism over there.
Okay. I've got something for you here. This is a sneak preview.
Okay.
All right. This, I shouldn't be showing you this because this should remain a secret until the middle of the Kickstarter, but.
Nice. Yes. We got a Ned Kelly miniature.
So one for our gentleman from Oz.
Awesome.
I am a fan.
Gunfight Royale, guys.
I chose the, there was a variety of weapons that they stole and they came up with. Awesome. Of course, an Enfield that was his signature, the single shot Enfield he had. It was all beat up.
Yeah.
But they show the sculpture of him in front of the, I saw this on Google image search. I haven't been there, unfortunately. But the picture, the sculpture of him in front of the visitor center has a Colt revolving rifle. And I think it's one of the things they stole along the way from the police. But in the Gunfight Royale game, he's just called a Bush Ranger. It's not called Ned Kelly. And he has this gun because it's so much fun because, of course, it's got an infamous malfunction. Any cap and ball revolver has it, which is it can chain fire. And of course, if you're holding it in front of the cylinder, your left hand is in front of the cylinder and it chain fires, you're in a heap of trouble, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in a heap of trouble if your cylinder starts chain firing in any case, because then all of a sudden you got a grenade about 4 inches from your face. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there was an old boy that used to own a game distributor in Northern Illinois.
I'm not a Ned fan. He's a cop killer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Imagine the dark side of an old West outlaw. But anyway, this guy, he had a Walker Colt replica and would regale me with tales of it chain firing. And he blew a rabbit to pieces with it, which it would have anyway, but it left a divot on both sides of the rabbit.
Yeah. That's the blessing of modern black powder technology, is now you can actually find caps that are appropriately sized.
And didn't they routinely overload the Colt Walkers, not the caps, but the actual grains of powder didn't they overload those and have them explode sometimes?
Yeah, there's actually, there's a really cool book out there that if anyone can find a copy of it, they're incredibly lucky. It's called Gunsmithing and Operations of the Colt Navy in the Civil War. It's a really, really, really hard book to find. But what it is it's an account from a dude. He wrote it in like the 19-teens. And most of his background, other than being the Colt Navy gunsmith of the time and for about 40 years there, most of the stories that are in it, he got, you know, when he was sitting in a little kid on town squares on Sundays, you know, in small towns in the South, listening to Civil War veterans talk about Colt Navies and all this wild stuff. You know, some of the alterations that he found were like a dude who lost his right thumb had a gunsmith put a drift a hole through the hammer on his Colt Navy that then he tied a lanyard through to his neck so that he could push it, push, extend his arm fully to cock the Navy, and then fire. And then fire in that manner. In addition, there's some wild, like truly just messed up, incredible, incredibly dangerous games that used to be played, like drawing a circle on the ceiling of a drinking establishment and then holding your Colt Navy backwards so that it pointed up at the ceiling as you're sitting down and hammering, just hammering downwards on the on the edge of the table so that the hammer, while closed, would strike the cap and discharge it and see who could get there around inside the circle on the ceiling.
Wow.
Yeah, again, just disastrously intoxicated ideas. It must have been a real riot to watch as long as you were.
It was the hold my beer moment.
Oh, yeah. A whole group of guys sitting around a table playing it. That's the wild part.
Oh, wow. That's pretty wild.
So yeah. What do you guys think is the appeal of, playing, Wild West miniature games? I mean, besides just the shootouts, and I guess it's the gunfights.
It goes back to when, at least for, my age and Todd's age, back to, when we were kids playing, Cowboys and Indians. I mean, we literally, grew up with seeing, in the toy stores, the cap pistol with the crappy plastic gun belt.
Now it's Nerf guns.
Yeah. But I mean, what kid my age didn't have crappy metal, cap gun with the spiral of paper caps, and you would fan just so you could get the smell.
Hit the whole thing with a hammer too once in a while. The whole roll.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that wasn't going to go fast enough, so you just pulled it out and wham, and you see how many you could get to go off all at one time. at least for, like I said, people, up till, anywhere from, anybody born in the late 40s up to, the mid 70s, early 80s. I mean, that was part of growing up.
Oh yeah. Yep. For me
too. and actually, when I was growing up, we didn't even call it Cowboys and Indians. We just called it guns. Let's go play guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go play guns. Well, I mean, for me, I guess it's a part two of that question, Forrest, that I have for you, sir. You are such a talented sculptor and a talented artist. And I mean it. You are. And just the detail that you get in the miniatures. And yes, I'm going to kiss your butt a little bit because I there's so much detail in these miniatures. And that's something I like, is I like having detail in my miniatures. And a lot of them, you're like, oh, that's it. I love details because it tells a story on the model. Okay. And I mean, these guys know me, my dwarves better have detail on them, because that's what I look for with my dwarves. The more detail, the better. It's like, look, guys, he's got a little flagon on the side of his belt. Look at this. Yeah, for his ale. I get excited about that. My question is, why did you stay with just Wild West? I mean, is there something else that you've ever considered sculpting or have?
Well, my favorite period is Peninsula War Napoleonics.
Ah,
hands down. That's my favorite period. And but once you've, well, first of all, there are plenty of fabulous miniatures for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't need to reinvent the wheel there. I felt I could contribute something with the Wild West. And I also love the Wild West, don't get me wrong. But once you, I think that typically a game company will come out with Western figures and they'll go just so far and then they'll move on to something else.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, why stop? We'll just keep going. And once you've made a name for yourself in a particular field, why give that up? You know, exploit it, keep going. And I had tapped into something that seems to have no end. There's no end to the subjects that you can sculpt.
Yes.
I've just barely scratched the surface and I have 123 gunfighters at once I release Sherm McMasters as a single, I will have 124 gunfighters. So I've only scratched the surface. I don't have Lonesome Dove. I don't have US Cavalry. I don't have Apaches. I don't have the Silverado, you know, I don't have, the Four Horsemen and the Oklahoma US Marshals, Chris Madsen and those guys. So I could just keep going. I don't have,
Tombstone. You got Tombstone.
I've got Tombstone. No, I was thinking of the,
Spaghetti Western, you got some.
The Northern Plains, the range wars up in Montana, and I know, like the European hunting party. You know, you've got stuff like that. I don't have a war wagon. I don't have all the vehicles, so I can just keep going. You know, Bison. I'm going to be coming out with probably in another month or two.
Oh, awesome!
And of course, you saw the miner and the mule on Facebook, probably.
Yeah, I did.
I want to do a bunch of miners, prospectors.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's no end to it. So why would I stop and try to reestablish myself in a different time period when this is enjoyable to sculpt? I love the subject matter and I can just keep going. And so then when I want to play Peninsula War Napoleonics, I do it in one of the three scales I own. I have it in 6, 15, and 40.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
your pile of lead of opportunity.
I do, yeah, that's right.
Paul Beckett says the appeal of Wild West for me is the old movies, TV shows like High Chaparral. I can't say it. Packs of Plastic Cowboys and Indians, and F Troop.
Unfortunately, so I run into this a lot. That as old, as ancient as you can see that I am. I'm still not old enough to have watched the 50s Westerns and the 60s Westerns. I just didn't, they weren't in syndication when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I was watching Star Trek. I think F Troop might have been on for 1 year as an after school, you know, reruns. But I just didn't grow up with that. And so I love the history more than the movies and the TV shows.
Yeah.
But obviously the movies and the TV shows are what most people are most familiar with. So that's what I tend to take a historical subject and then give it a face that's either been in a movie or is a person that they might recognize. Cool. So, yeah. And also I, when we did the movie list earlier, I've seen a lot of them, but I'm just not a movie buff. I just don't have a huge knowledge of movies. It puts me at a huge disadvantage in geek culture and because I just don't know what people are referring to half the time.
Well, watch
especially Diablo. Science fiction.
Once you watch Diablo, it'll be like, holy crap, that's Clint Eastwood.
Oh yeah. I enjoy movies when I see them. I just don't.
Well, you know, and I for me, it was the Duke. My grandfather used to, I can't remember the name of the theater. It was a dollar theater. AMC or something like that they used to have a Western day, like on a Sunday or something like that. And my grandpa would take me and my brother to see these dollar movies of old Westerns and stuff. And they'd do a double feature, you know, and he would watch them when he got VHS, when he got them all on VHS. Do you remember that? They used to have those DVD specials of all the movies on all, you know, six VHS tapes. Yeah. And he wore those out. He loved the Duke, you know, and Clint Eastwood. He
he didn't care for. He said, he's not the Duke. You know, it's like, okay.
There was a generational thing there, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't remember the names of the movies. You know, I don't remember the names, but I tell you, if one is on, I can tell you, oh, yeah, I've seen that. This happens, this happens, this happens. So I think there's a click for me there, and that's where my love for it comes from. And I can't believe I waited this long to do it, but, I mean, I can. I've so heavily vested myself in the fantasy. And
well, the John Wayne and Clint Eastwood, John Wayne and Clint Eastwood, they're really big stars, and I've seen their movies, and I've that's probably what did it for me ultimately.
Yeah. Right on. Well, you guys got anything else? Oh, McMurray, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I'm really happy that Forrest pointed this out.
McMurray, microphone.
Oh, sorry. I'm happy that Forrest pointed this out, because something that Todd and I talked about a lot, that there's enough history there that I don't need to branch out into alternate or weird or, you know, any of the other stuff. I mean, Todd and I usually talk about World War II, but the same thing bears repeating. This is something that happened, you know, across the entirety of the Western United States and Northern Mexico for 60 years, depending on where you're looking. Like, there's more than enough material here to last one person, you know, a lifetime. And I'm happy I really appreciate your diving into that, as it's not just going to be a cursory thing. There's enough
here. Right.
It could be a lifetime's worth of energy, which it could be, and that's fantastic.
Microphone McMurray.
Can you make a guy on a buffalo?
Ooh, Ted Nugent. So one point I would like to make is that as a sculptor, you need a palate cleanser once in a while. And that's why you do see some Weird West figures, and you probably will continue to see some that'll be a sideshow. And it's because you need a palate cleanser. You need to freshen up and keep yourself interested sometimes. Cause you know, there's only so many guys in vests and 50s cowboy hats and jeans that you can sculpt with a slightly different face, you know? So, which is why, as you're saying, with the history, my gosh, you know, all the different kinds of costuming, mountain men, liver-eating Johnson.
I love the miners
with the tall sort of cavalry boots that they would wear, sort of like a welly, but they'd have these great big boots. If it wasn't, they'd have my welly. Then they'd be wearing suspenders and old man, you know, the pants clear up to here with the suspenders. And they're young guys. They're not old. You try to be even my age and go up in the mountains in the wet and the damp all the time in the cold winter. No, they were young guys. They just looked old. And not fat. You know, we love to sculpt fat characters because it's fun. You know, it's fun to see a rotund character. It's very cartoonish and interesting. But most of these Westerners were absolutely rangy.
Or a guy with a peg leg.
You know.
That's what happens when you eat corn cakes, like, you know, four meals a day for a week and a half.
Right.
Well, right. I've got a sickness now for the period, and I'm enjoying it more than I thought, because I'm sitting down, losing track of time, reading some of these books. Thank you, Forrest, by the way.
Well, thank you for having me on here.
The Gunfighter. Yeah.
Man or myth, Joseph Rosa. Yeah, Joseph Rosa. And there you go. That's the stuff. That's the top shelf gear. That's top gear right there.
Would you believe I got it for $6 on Amazon?
I can believe it. Got it used. Yep.
And it's been wow. I mean,
buy everything he's ever made. Buy everything. Every publication he's ever put out, buy it.
That would be a picture of a saloon. I mean, and one more, another Joseph G. Rosa book. It's a big hardcover.
Oh, yes.
Called Gunfighter.
That is along the lines of a Time Life retrospective, but it's all boiled down into one. He covers a lot of the same territory that's covered in two or three of those books.
Mm-hmm. But this... I also have Wyatt Earp, and just
make sure you get the volume 1 and volume 3 of the gunfights.
I have them. And it's taken forever for them to ship them to me. It took like 3 weeks because I had to find the volume one. I had to find, and it was it was in Canada. So,
hold on a second. If you enjoyed that book, I've got another couple of books here for you. Soiled Doves, Prostitution in the Old West.
What?
Wow.
So if you
Soiled Doves.
Yeah. So Soiled Doves, Prostitution in the Old West.
Wow.
By the most matronly looking woman you could imagine who wrote this book. And then here's another one. Yes. Saloons of the Old West. Anything and everything you wanted to know about Saloons of the Old West. I've read this sucker cover to cover. I used to.
What's the author of that?
This one is, let's see, Richard. Oh, here you can see it.
Richard Erdos.
Saloons of the Old West.
That's the one I couldn't remember because last time you were talking about books.
A lot of this kind of stuff.
What? Okay.
Years ago, and this would have been about the year 2000, 2001, I read this stuff voraciously, and that resulted in the Cowtown Creator.
Ah, okay, so most of it's in there. I still want to get that.
There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Anyway. That
came from. And the Cowtown Creator, I'll put in another plug for it. Okay, let me see. I think I have a copy sitting here.
I have one here, too.
You do? Okay, well, in the back of that book, for your listeners, I went through several Western history books, and I cataloged the first names, all the first names I could find, all the last names I could find from the index of these history books, all the first names, all the last names, and all the nicknames. I did it with several big books and came up with these exhaustive lists of first names, last names, and nicknames of the Old West so that you could mix and match and come up with plausible character names from scratch.
Oh, cool. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I'm still creating my town. So I think I'm on like third worksheet, but, and you don't have the fiddle, do you?
I do.
Hey, can we go out with a fiddle?
Sure.
You Here you go, McMurray. This is what you missed the last time.
We were talking about Josie Wales a lot earlier, weren't we? Oh, that was a symbol. Hey, I don't want that.
Symbol. Yeah.
That's not a good key for that. That one's too damn hard. I don't think I want to do that one. Oh, I suddenly brought a blank.
Awesome,
I played for
awesome.
A half hour straight for dancers one time.
McMurray's still dancing in his red long underwear. Oh, he turned it off.
Have you ever heard the Damn Your Eyes song, the whole thing? You know Two Mules from Sister Sarah?
Yes.
That song is called Damn Your Eyes. It's called
Your Eyes.
Sam Hall is actually the name of the song.
Yeah.
Oh, my name, it is Sam Hall. Oh, chimney sweep. Well, it's actually your name is up. Oh, my name, it is Sam Hall. Oh, Sam Hall, Sam Hall. Oh, my name, it is Sam Hall, Sam Hall. Oh, my name, it is Sam Hall, and I hate you one and all. And my neck will pay for all. When I die, and my neck will pay for all. Damn your eyes.
Johnny Cash sang it at one point in time. It's good.
Yeah, Johnny Cash sang a version of it, and it's an old Irish song, too. It's got lots of different versions of it.
Well, everybody, that was Forrest Harris playing the fiddle. Thank you, Forrest, for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody, for signing up for the Kickstarter. I really appreciate it.
Go check it out, guys. Gunfight Royale.
Gunfight Royale.
Go check it out. That was episode 33, Wargaming Wild West. We have one more episode for this season, guys. Episode 34 will be our last episode. That's next weekend. And you'll have to join us to find out what it is. What our topic is.
Is it next weekend after Thanksgiving?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I was thinking the weekend of Thanksgiving since everybody had theirs canceled. You know. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's what I mean. The weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, a week from today.
Like a week from today.
We also have Frights Forgiving too, which is a Tales of Horror game we're gonna play. And there might be a ball game in there somewhere. I don't know.
Maybe I'll get the three-legged knuckle duster guy.
The peg leg.
If you ever want to write a design a card deck of Wild West games to go to Gunfighter's Ball for an advanced weapons deck, I'd pay for that.
There you go, McMurray.
Lay down the gauntlet.
I'm sure we'll come up with something, but that's all we got, guys. We will see you next week. Anybody got anything else? No. All right, well, last but not least, from me to you, ha-ha, and we'll catch you in our next episode.
Yeah, see you.
Bye.